It just looks like Travion is running really, really hard, really effectively, and doing the other stuff, walking, all that stuff. That's the first year here, so I don't know if you would know the difference, but how impressive has he been? What does a guy like that give you?
Well, he's an extremely versatile back that can play all three downs for you. So, he has the ability to run the ball up inside the tackles because of his physicality, but he has speed, long speed, where you can use him on perimeter runs. And he's really a weapon in the passing game. You saw us use him a little bit more in the passing game, and we're starting to get a better understanding of what he can do and how he can help us. It's a long season, so we haven't really had to put a ton on both him and Q's plates just because we probably have played, we're at the halfway point right now of the season. So the fact that those guys have contributed the way they have, they really kind of feed off each other. But I think he's a complete running back. And add to that his ability on third down and pass pro pickup, which I think he's been outstanding at. I don't know if there's a better run blocking or pass blocking back in the country than Trey right now. So he gives you everything that you want in a running back.
Stephen Means, Cleveland.
Roy was talking about a lot of deep balls. His footwork in the 9 months since Will's been here. Where was his footwork maybe when you first got here? Because I know he was here before you. Versus like where it is now in terms of executing, doing the ball down the field.
I've seen Will get better each week. And Ryan's right. Footwork is a big part of it, but also knowledge and understanding of what you're doing. Sometimes when you go back to the first couple of days of spring practice, where you're not sure where all the receivers are supposed to be. I've always learned a long time ago, when your head's moving, your feet aren't. So when he's kind of thinking about where are the people supposed to be, maybe his feet aren't where they're supposed to be. So you always have to match your footwork with the timing and depth of the routes that you're running. And I think as he gets more and more comfortable with what we're doing, I think you're starting to see him, play at a really high level. I think he's had three or four straight games at 80% completion. He's doing a really good job in that, but there's still improvement, and he knows that. So I think if, we finally can get it all together, it's going to be really impressive with what Will can do.
What was the Cardinal one this past week, or there's been some with Jeremiah, the Cardinal one against Pitt State? Was that more of a footwork issue or a timing?
No, I think the one with Cardinal was a blown coverage. You came out and he did a great job. It was covered, was too deep. You're not going to get a deep ball versus too deep. And all of a sudden, the DB for some reason started running forward. So I think it kind of surprised him. When you look at the initial pre-snap, it surprised him, it surprised me. You're not gonna be able to make that throw. And you shouldn't be looking for that throw in that coverage, but all of a sudden the DB for some reason didn't take one step. He took like five steps towards the line of scrimmage on a pass play. So I think that kind of surprised him more than anything.
Tony Gerben, Buckeye Huddle.
More on Will. Jerry told me yesterday that he's the first Ohio State quarterback in however long to have five games of completing 80% of his passes. He's a 60% career passer before he got here. Scheme and talent around him can change that. But did you see when you saw him as 70%?
Yeah, actually, Will said if he gets to play at noon, he can complete 80% of his passes. So I think the controversy's over. So you get a noon kickoff, he'll complete 80. So I think we can all – I know a lot of people have problems with what we're doing, but if it means the quarterback can complete 80% of his passes, we'll take it. So.
When you watched him before you got to know him here, did you see a 74% passer that he is now?
No, I just watched highlights of Will when I got – he was already here, so I wasn't recruiting him. It was just, I got everybody that was on offense. They put together a hit tape for everybody at every position. I got a chance to kind of buzz that, and then, a week later we were on the field. So, but I think with everything, his knowledge – of the game continues to expand, and the more he understands and has a real good feel for what we're doing. Will has a lot of input in terms of what we do game plan wise. What do you like? What don't you like? What do you feel comfortable with? And as we get to know Will better and he gets to know us better, I think you're starting to see that kind of really mesh together. So,
has the accuracy surprised you?
No, because I've seen it in practice. The other thing that Will can do, he does two things really well. Number one, he can see because he's so big. He stands in the pocket really, really well, and he's tough. And I think that's one such an underrated quality for any quarterback, the ability to stand in the pocket while people are literally trying to take your head off, and not worry about the rush, but always keep your eyes focused downfield, looking for receivers trying to get open at certain times, or if it's an off-schedule play, trying to keep off-schedule plays alive. But I think that's part of Will's nature, that I think his toughness and his ability to see the whole field while he's in the pocket are two big things in terms of his accuracy.
All right, Don Terry, WBNS.
Coach, this is kind of uncharted waters with the new playoff system and everything. From an offensive standpoint, how much of the offense is in, and are you holding things back because there's some huge, I mean, how do you manage all of that?
Yeah, I don't think we hold anything back. I think our offense is always game plan specific in terms of who we're playing and how do we attack what they do. Each defense you face is somewhat unique, you know, and so you can say, hey, this team's a little bit like this team, but not totally like that team. So I think it's not, hey, this is a really good play. Let's not run it because we're going to need it down the road. It's, you know, you have to win every game. And I don't think you can take that approach of let's save this for another game because you don't know how games are going to express themselves during the course of the game itself. So everything we do is just game plan specific, especially now that we've gotten into conference play.
Pretty much in, you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we could add stuff that I think we may have done in the spring, but we haven't used yet just because we haven't faced that defense yet.
Spencer Holbrook, Letterman Row.
Chip, in 2022, your UCLA offensive line was a semifinals for the Joe Moore Award. Mm-hmm. Today, this offensive line was named a semifinalist for that. Do you see similarities from the way that unit was playing and the way that Justin has your guys playing right now?
God, you make me think back. I think they're different. I've said it before. I'm not into comparing one group to another group. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool for those guys. That's a prestigious award. You know, those guys usually go unnoticed. That's the nature of the position. If you're an offensive lineman, they buy their clothes with True Value Hardware. They don't really get a lot of attention. They're not the guys that are out in the limelight like some of these other guys, but they work their tails off. You know, I think that's the gist of any team that's going to be a really good football team has to be strong on both lines. And the fact that they've been recognized for that, that's something that's pretty cool. But now we got to live up to that standard every day. So.
The way that those guys have responded since losing Josh, mm-hmm. as the play caller and the leader of the offense, how have you, evaluated that? What do you think of the unit, the way that it's playing without Josh?
I've been really impressed, and I think really Donnie and Seth have really stepped up in that leadership part, you know, and I think the two of those guys have really kind of led from the front. Two tough, hard-nosed physical players. Obviously, Donnie being selfish and moving from left guard to left tackle was a really big deal for us. And he continues to work at his craft every day because, you know, I think everybody just thinks O-line. But, all five of those positions are really different. And it's not easy to go from one position to another position. And the fact that Donnie's done that has been great. And I think Seth really, because he calls all of our identifications and directs what our blocking schemes will be, you know, has really kind of fell into that leadership role for us. And I think our guys are rallying behind those two.
All right, Dave Holmes, WSYX.
Ryan talked a little bit about his upbringing at Fenway Park and historic baseball venues. Wanted to get your thoughts on playing a game in Wrigley.
Yeah, I think it's cool. You know, I've seen just highlights of a football game in there, and I've been to a game at Wrigley when I was out recruiting once. But the fact that you can play in settings like that is pretty cool, and I think it makes it unique. You know, obviously, they're refurbishing their stadium, so. You know, they got to either build the one that they did on campus or go to Wrigley. So the fact that we get to be the one team that plays in Wrigley, I think will be pretty cool. And I think our players will enjoy that.
Austin Ward of the podcast.
Chip, I know every game plan every week is different, contingent on the opponent, but it's felt like the last couple game plans have leaned a little bit more on Will as a rushing threat. What's motivating that decision?
The defenses that the people deploy. You know, sometimes they always have an extra guy in the box, and if you run their quarterback, then that evens the numbers back out. It's as simple as that. You know, some teams don't do that, and other teams do that. So, you know, it's just sometimes when you get, especially when you get in a conference play, I think there's a lot of people in this league that know how to stop the run. So, you know, you got to be able to have a mobile quarterback, and it helps that Will has that mobility.
Bill Landis, Kings of the North.
Chip, do you ever iterate off of a play or change something up kind of just for the sake of doing it to break a tendency or put something different on film, or is it always opponent-specific?
No, it's always opponent-specific, but you still self-scout yourself and what are we doing out of this formation and what is our run-pass ratio and even within that, out of this formation, all runs are this, you know. And then that's always the fine line. Well, we should do something different. Well, what we're doing is working. Why would we do something different? You know, so you kind of play that game and go back and forth with it. But we're constantly working on self-scout of ourselves and tendencies that we're trying to just understand. But some tendencies are good tendencies. You know, you could be, hey, you're 90% run out of this formation. You're also 90% success out of this formation. So, you know, do you not call that ever again because you think that they think that you think this, you know, you can get into that real dilemma of just, you know, it's still about executing and still about lining up and playing. So, but we do spend a lot of time on that. That's part of what our weekly game plan meetings are about.
Is there any more emphasis on that in a college football season that can now be 17, 18 games where you want to make sure you're sprinkling in different things so that if you get to game 17 and a team has a pretty expansive book on you guys film-wise that they can't, you know, key in on something you've done all year? Like you want to make sure you have those change-ups in there?
Yeah, there has to be some of those. But again, I think you can drive yourself crazy. But we put this on tape and they think that we can do this because they know that we can do that. They can't do that. Then we do that. Then I didn't make any sense what I just said, and that's what's going on in your head when you're starting to think about all that stuff too. So it's that process. You know, I still think you have to, part of being really good at it is what are we good at, and how do we continue to be good at it so that everybody in the stadium doesn't know, hey, they're running the ball over the right side on this play because that's what they always do. You know, I think you're still trying to mask some of those things, but you still have to play to your strengths.
Cameron Teague Robinson, The Athletic.
Chip, kind of off the question about Will's running, I think maybe it was last year or a couple weeks ago, you mentioned you don't have Tim Tebow, you're not just rocket running to be power all the time. But how have you seen Will's progression in understanding or reading what defenses want him to do when it comes to handing off to Q or Dre and pulling? Or is that more from you guys telling him you want to pull this, or is it more?
No, it's a good question. We don't tell him we want you to do this or want you to do that. It's totally. A lot of that stuff is, if it's a read play, it's he has to read it out and how he sees it. Just like we don't tell him where to throw. You know, it's the play's called to the curl or the flat, but it depends, does the defender defend the curl or defend the flat? Like, you can't tell him before the play, throw the curl because I know the guy's going to chase the flat. Well, then he sits in the curl and you throw a pick and it's, coach, you told me to go there. You know, we told you to read this player. So it's the same thing with some of the read plays that we run. And I think he does a really good job. You know, he was really well-trained. I think Chris Kleiman does a great job, and Colin Klein did a great job at K-State. And, you know, so Will's got a really, really good understanding of our running game. You know, it was more of just learning the terminology here as opposed to what it was like there. But I think he does a really, really good job of that. And when we put something in new, it may be new to this unit, but it's not new to Will. It's just, oh, yeah, we ran this. And then we'll go back and actually look at K-State tape with him and, you know, kind of pick his brain. How'd you read it, and how was it presented to you, and what's the best way for us to present it so that we can execute?
Joey Kaufman, Columbus Dispatcher.
Chip, what do you see as the advantage from huddling more and just sort of playing at a slower pace of play on offense versus the past couple of years, your teams were able to run more plays per minute than you are now, pace is a little slower. Just what's the advantage to that?
Yeah, I think you can communicate better. You know, so obviously the thing that's changed this season, and I think a lot of people have slowed down, is the ability for the quarterback to communicate with everybody before the play. You know, before it was just everything was driven by signals and everybody was looking to the sideline and then getting everybody on the same page. So there's some teams and some times when that's to your advantage. You know, I think more people do it to us because they don't want the ball in our hands, so that I think the game has we don't get as many possessions right now as we have in the past. Just because I think both sides are doing it a little bit more. But I think the communication thing that you're allowed to talk to the quarterback up to 15 seconds on the play clock is one of the advantages of huddling.
Teams are turning against you, but you guys have also done it. It seems mm-hmm. like more. Does it keep you an advantage to the other team?
Yeah, it gives us an advantage, again, from being able to communicate. So what Will can talk to the offensive line about, you know what I mean? Like, normally you'd send a play in, but he couldn't give them, like, hey, these guys are 85% twist and boundary corner on this play, so make sure that we're really high alert for that. You know, so there's a lot more that goes on. It's not a two-way conversation because he can't talk back to you, but you know, we have a style of speaking in that situation so that we can communicate some different things. Before it was you just called the play and broke. Now you can give him a lot more information. You know what I mean? There may be a player who got injured the play before. Hey, there's a new left corner and it's number 15. We talked about him. We saw him on film. This is what he's susceptible to. Let's make sure we're attacking him when you know he's in. Instead of you waited till you get to the sideline between series and go, hey, there's a new corner. And oh, I didn't know he was in. But you can communicate that stuff now.
Tim May, Letterman Raw.
Oh, thanks, Jerry. Following up on that a little bit, or just on offensive plays, do you ever have times in games where you have to say to yourself, I got to be disciplined here. I got to call some run plays? I know that sounds kind of stupid, but I mean, to have the balance when you look at this lineup and with Jeremiah and Emeka and mm-hmm. Carnell and, you know, you could throw the ball 50 times a game and nobody would question that either. You understand what I'm saying? Does it take discipline to also stay with the run game?
I think it takes discipline to know what the defense is trying to take away from you. So, you know, for you to try to continue to throw it if they're going to play high safeties and light boxes, you know, you should be running it more then. You know, and when people are loading up the box to take away your run and saying, hey, we're not going to let you run the ball in this situation, and you are still trying to run the ball in that situation, that's where I think the discipline is. So sometimes it's not consecutive plays in a row or series. It's just kind of what are they like? Because you take – say you're playing Northwestern, you have nine-game breakdown on Northwestern. This is what they've done for their last nine games. But as you go into the really first, second, third series of a game, is what we saw in the last nine games actually happening in this game? And if it is, then we're pretty solid in terms of our game plan. If not, then you may have to morph a little bit towards run or a little bit towards pass based upon how they decided they were going to come out this week. Because they may have come out in the previous 9 weeks and done this, but in your game, they're doing it a little bit differently. So it's the ability to make those adjustments and kind of lean one way or the other. You know, I think is the discipline part you're talking about, not just saying, well, we're just going to chuck it, you know. Yeah. But if they're playing really deep and you're still trying to throw it deep, then that's not smart either, you know.
I don't mean necessarily throw it deep every time. But yeah.
Okay. And you just want us to throw it every time?
Yeah.
That's fine.
My philosophy, when in doubt, air it out. But following up on what you've
You're not a Woody about, Hayes guy then, huh?
Yeah, no. Well,
come on. You can't go both ways.
I grew up in Alabama, Texas. Yeah.
Okay, so you're not a Bear Bryant guy.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
When you walk into a place like Wrigley Field, you seem to have a feel for history and stuff. I mean, Gale Sayers ran there. You know, Dick Butkus played there. You know,
yeah.
Most people don't. They think they all played in Soldier Field and stuff. Do you think about that kind of where you are?
I will Friday because we're actually going to go to the stadium and get a chance to kind of look around and see what it looks like.
But does that add to the?
Oh yeah,
to it too.
It always does. I mean, I love whenever wherever I've been, when you get a chance to go play in some of these iconic stadiums and players that you saw when you were growing up and play here. That's always a really cool part about what we get to do. But yeah, it'll be fun. I think everybody's excited about playing this game in Wrigley.
Coach, thank you very much.
All right, thanks, guys.